It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
This is Bob Siegel, joined again by Jim Barrier. And later, as we always do with Jim, we will have our Stump Jim Barrier musical segment. In the meantime, on the subject of music, a different kind of tribute chosen in Jim's honor.
And now our national anthem.
Kids all sing like Siberians sing.
Well, I remember you telling me how much you liked that song, Jim, that it was one of your favorites, so we just couldn't resist.
Well, you know, Bob, one of the signs to look out for is when your memory begins fading.
Oh, wait a minute. I remember now. The one you liked was Rockin' Robin.
There you go. That's better.
Either one could apply this week for our Twitter update with Ron DeSantis introducing his candidacy over Twitter and having all kinds of tech issues, but that's among one of several things we'll discuss tonight.
And that was Bobby Day, by the way, and the Jackson 5 covered that song, but thank you very much for...
Did the Jackson 5 also cover the Tiki Room version? Did the Jackson 5 do that one too? Probably not.
No, probably not. So now, before we get into all of our news items that we do want to talk about, I want to say I've kept my record perfect on sports predictions, and none of the Ganassi team drivers won the Indy 500 today. Joseph Newgarden won. Congratulations to him. But the big thing about Indy and the Indy 500 is that they have it on Memorial Day weekend. In fact, they used to actually run it on Memorial Day. And so I would like to say, please, tomorrow, when you're barbecuing or going to the beach or whatever you do on Memorial Day, remember why we have Memorial Day, who we are memorializing. And that is those who have given their lives, those who have fallen in uniform, in wars around the world, people who have served this country and made the ultimate sacrifices. So please keep that in mind when you celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow. And I will do that.
And remember, we're celebrating vets from long ago, too, from back in the days before learning your pronouns was as important as building the army tank.
Oh, we're going to touch on that in just a bit here. So, speaking of sports, and Brendan and I agree on this, we do not like the L.A. Dodgers. I never have, because growing up in San Diego, you just learn to dislike the LA Dodgers. But I don't know if you knew this, but they have changed their moniker. They will now be the LBGTQ Dodgers. I didn't know if you were aware of that.
Now, you had to have been making that one up. Although,
these days,
that wouldn't have surprised me. I had to ask. Yeah. I wasn't sure, because nothing would surprise me today.
Yeah, that's true. Nothing surprises me. But here's what the real story is. The Dodgers this year will give its Community Hero Award to the Los Angeles chapter of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence during Pride Night at Dodger Stadium.
Now, perpetual indulgence of what exactly?
The Sisters, also called the Order of Perpetual Indulgence, is a group of gay and trans nuns known for blasphemous acts mocking Catholicism. I've seen.
So they're indulging in their disobedience of Catholicism then? Is it along those lines?
It's worse than that. It's vile acts. There's a video of two guys scantily clad on a cross, kind of climbing all over each other and doing these suggestive dances and stuff. It's vile.
Now, when you say nuns, do you mean former nuns, or would they still consider themselves to be nuns?
No, they're not real nuns, but that's what they call themselves. So what's happening, the Dodgers are taking a whole night and making these people the centerpiece of the evening. And so there's an organization called Catholic Vote, and they have already raised $1 million to launch a campaign to boycott the Dodgers. I expect that the Dodgers will suffer a loss in attendance, especially on that night, and hopefully a loss in finances. It's the go woke, go broke principle, and that's what we want to spend some time tonight talking about.
Well, you know, boycotting has never in the past, I should say, been my favorite way of expressing myself. And of course, I have the opportunity to have a radio show and a column, so I have other ways of expressing myself. But as freedom of speech diminishes, I must say, I'm more and more thinking that the dollar sign is the only way we're going to get the attention of these companies like Anheuser-Busch and Target and the like.
Oh, exactly. And that's the whole point. You know, you think they need to start learning a lesson. Bud Light sales have recorded 6 consecutive weeks of decline.
Yeah, it changes the meaning of the name Bud Light. It's light in the sales now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's severe.
I think it was over 25% less sales the last time I checked. It's probably gone up.
It's dropped 25%. They've lost almost $16 billion stock price for the parent company, Anheuser-Busch, which markets several different beers. But Anheuser-Busch has dropped 11%. In stock prices. And then this is bizarre. The Wall Street Journal has reported that Bud Light has told wholesalers that the company will buy back expired beer.
Oh, I heard that. I wonder how many of them think all this virtue signaling and patting themselves on the back for being so woke was a good idea now.
I suppose, but I mean, they're going to lose more money if they have to buy back beer that they sold that they can't do anything with but pour out. So that's been one of the high profile.
Talk about a business and corporation not knowing their consumers.
I mean, really.
I think somebody that's not into beer, they could have called that one.
It seems like they should have. But what you have is this classic case where you have the term the tail wagging the dog, and influential people infiltrate these places and they persuade them to make these decisions.
Well, they persuade them by threatening to call them names, call them homophobic, transphobic, you name it.
Right. Well, here's another biggie. Target.
Yeah, this one is just an outrage. This one at Target just gives me the creeps.
Target has lost $9 billion because of its rollout of the Pride collection for children. And I've seen commercials and stuff, and it's not cute. They're pushing an agenda. They've also faced backlash for partnering with a British clothing brand. It's called Aprilon. And their designs include a T-shirt that reads, "Satan respects pronouns."
I'll bet he does. I'll bet Satan loves a lot of what's going on.
Target, well, they don't anymore. They were carrying a sweatshirt made by this company with a snake on the front, and it says, "Cure transphobia, not trans people." That's just blatant. And so
it's almost like we're just living in an alternate reality. It's like we're living in a nightmare.
It is. It's like a Twilight Zone thing. So this designer said it's not inspired by a literal belief in Satan, but rather, listen to this carefully, rather uses Satan as a symbol of passion, pride, and liberty. Yeah, I know that's how most
people think. You got to see the irony, because he's on to something far more than he knows. He probably doesn't believe there really is a Satan, but there is a Satan, and the real Satan just loves what he's doing.
Oh, I'm sure he's laughing if Satan laughs. I don't know.
I'll bet he laughs at people like that. Satan knows that old coinage, there's a sucker born every minute.
It's that line from the song, remember we talked about American Pie, I saw Satan laughing with delight. I think he's probably quite pleased. It's just crazy stuff that's going on here with these companies. So Target announced last Wednesday, that it was withdrawing some items over threats that were impacting our team members' sense of safety and well-being.
Oh, I'll bet they're going to get far more threats for removing the stuff than they ever got for putting it up. And I don't think there should be threats from either side, but I'll bet you they're going to get far more threats from the left. You just watch.
Well, oh, they will. But but it's their concern for their team member safety, not the $9 billion that they've lost.
Oh, no, I'm sure that had nothing to do with it.
When are these companies going to wake up?
Well,
when are you going to wake up?
The left knows how to fix elections. The high majority of the people in this country are tired of, and this is but one of many, many things they're tired of, but we don't have much of a voice at the polls anymore, so I guess the voice of the store and the pocketbook is all that's left.
Vote with your pocketbook. And listen, I have leftist friends that have done that for years. I have a very close friend, and she said, I won't shop at Hobby Lobby. I said, why not? Because of their political stances and their political agenda. They don't have one, by the way.
Well, Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A, they never made an issue out of any of those things until they were interviewed. And when Christian businessmen are interviewed today, the first question and the only important question coming from the so-called journalist is, what is your opinion of the LGBTQ community? That's where they start. It doesn't matter what they've done in the name of Christ, what they're accomplishing. It's just that litmus test every time.
Every time.
And then if they answer honestly, then the narrative the next day is that, but they're out on this crusade against gay. No, they aren't. They're just honestly answering a question about what they believe. And by the way, we're entitled to believe whatever we want. We have this little document called the Constitution. Joe Biden hasn't used it as toilet paper quite yet. It still exists, I think.
It exists, but it's sure losing its efficacy in our culture. And by the way, those two companies, Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A, hire gay people. They don't have a policy that says you can't be gay.
The way it gets spun is gay people are not welcome there. No, what happened is they were asked a question. You're a Christian. What's your opinion on this? Well, I go by what the Bible says. I believe in the Bible. I would be a hypocrite if I claimed to be a Christian and I didn't go by the Bible. Okay, hang with me, Jim. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
So here we are, talking about go woke, go broke. Now, when I was just a little guy in the 1950s. Yes, I'm that old. My grandparents took me to Disneyland, and my life was never the same. And I would sit on the floor in front of the TV with my little mouse ears on and watch the Mickey Mouse Club. And I grew up on Disney. I watched all of their feature films, and I went to the amusement park, and I watched Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. In fact, I used to have, when I still lived out there in San Diego, every year I had the annual Jim Barrier birthday bash at Disneyland. And I just grew up, and I'm a big, big fan of the mouse.
And I must say, ditto for me. I love Disneyland.
Yeah, it's in my bloodstream. However, Disney may be the biggest go woke, go broke example that there is. They've had problems for quite some time, but it's really hitting epic proportions. In November of last year, they premiered a movie called Strange World, which bombed, completely bombed. And the storyline had a young teenage boy who falls in love with another boy, and his father's very supportive. The film lost $152 million. And then the release of Lightyear.
Yeah, and in Lightyear, they tried to just weave it in a little more subtly, and subtle had been their way of doing it in the past, but they are trying to get more in your face about it now.
Yeah. Well, that film only lost $106 million.
Oh, well.
And that movie was banned in 14 other countries just because of that one scene of two characters sharing a same-sex kiss. So Disney, they're losing money. They don't care. They just keep barging through with the whole agenda.
Well, there's tension between the board of directors and the creative team, because the creative team, my understanding is, they don't care about the money. It is the virtue signaling that they want to do. They're happy with themselves. They're proud of themselves. They think they're making history. They think they're back in the 60s fighting for civil rights. That's not really what's going on, but they think it is. They tell themselves it is.
They think it is. The problem is the company's money. They had to cut 7,000 jobs just to offset losses. So here's another company that really cares about their employees, huh? Maybe not. Their streaming business, Disney Plus, has lost 4 million subscriptions because of their woke content. It's lost $659 million just this year, and it has lost $1 billion in each of the past two quarters.
And it's gone beyond Disney, because Disney now owns Star Wars. Disney now owns the Muppets. Yeah. Disney now owns Marvel. So you're not going to just see this in stuff with the name Disney on it. You're going to see it everywhere.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying they're losing money on their movies. They're losing subscriptions to their streaming networks. And they're losing billions of dollars. And sooner or later, there is going to be a turmoil. They're going to say, enough's enough. We're losing money, guys, and you're all going to lose your jobs. We can't keep pushing this.
Sooner or later, somebody's going to say, hey, it's called show business. Without the business, there's no show.
That's a good point. Now, Disney has also been in a feud for about a year with Governor Ron DeSantis over Florida's so-called Don't Say Gay law.
Which the law never actually said anyway.
No, it didn't say that, but it barred schools from discussing gender and sexual orientations with students through the third grade.
Oh, just imagine not wanting to expose kids to that. What could they have been thinking?
Well, they've been fighting. They've been suing each other. And DeSantis, I like DeSantis. There's a lot of things I like about him. So he then signed legislation stripping the company of its special governing and tax jurisdiction. They kind of got special favors because they brought so much money into the state with the Walt Disney World down in Florida. But because the district has $1 billion in bond debt that would be passed on to taxpayers, they had to have a special legislative session just February. And they allowed Disney to keep their special tax district status, but exempted them from choosing who can sit on the board, which will take some time, but it'll shake things up. And so legislators, they gave the governor, Ron DeSantis, power to handpick members for the board that oversees Disney World's government services. Wow! This battle is far from over, kids. But at least
I'm just glad there's people out there with the courage to fight.
There's a lot of admirable things about Ron DeSantis, and we've talked about him on the show before. Truth is, I would love to see him get the GOP ticket. I don't think he's going to.
And if he does, you can just bet everything they said about Trump, they'll say about him. They're starting to already, but he'll be Hitler. Oh. He'll be a Nazi.
Oh, yeah.
They'll call him a white supremacist. They'll do that to any conservative in power. Trump just made it easier for them because he talked back and called them names. But it doesn't matter. And they will do it to anybody. They did it to Bush. They did it to Romney when he ran.
Yeah. But Trump, in all fairness, he is an egomaniac. He is a narcissist, I think, much like Obama was.
Well, much like a lot of politicians, it's just not as easily hidden in Trump.
Yeah, no, he doesn't hide anything. There's no filter. So now what we have, this is a nice segue, by the way. Now we have, we've gone from DeSantis versus Disney to DeSantis versus Trump, because DeSantis now has announced his candidacy. And I think he raised $8 million in the first day for his campaign. But he's got a lot of ground to make up. Now, it's a long time till November. But Newsmax, I've been going to Newsmax rather than Fox most of the time, and they say, based on the National Research Incorporated, that Trump has a 25% lead over DeSantis at this point among likely Republican voters. I don't know how they come to these things. You know, polls and those kind of things could be pretty shaky.
But, you know, we've been seeing a lot of fixed elections, and I don't put it beyond the Republicans to fix them, too. We may just see some primaries fixed against Trump by the establishment GOP, by the RINOs. We may see that happen.
Well, and they're everywhere. They're in this state right now. The attorney general is being tried for impeachment, and it's the Democrats and some of the RINOs that still exist here. But and he may be guilty of the things you're saying. I don't know, but it sounds a whole lot like the stuff they did with Trump. And by the way, Fortune magazine gives Trump a 33% edge over DeSantis. Now, DeSantis just announced his candidacy officially. I think a lot of people suspect that he was going to do it. And you know how you can tell if a guy's going to run?
He keeps saying right now I'm not even thinking about that. I'm just focused on Florida and being the governor. The more they say that, the more you know they're going to run for president.
They all do that, I mean, it goes, even Reagan did that when he left the governorship of California, not by his own
Do you remember the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour? We talked about the Smothers Brothers a few. They used to have a regular comedian on named Pat Paulson. And we're going back to the year 1968. Pat Paulson came on the show to announce that he was not running for president. And of course, it was just part of the joke. And then as the weeks went on, obviously, he started his own campaign. People actually went to the polls and voted for that guy, too, by the way.
Yeah, they did. They wrote him in. And you know what? He might have been better than some of the guys that were actually running.
He'd have been better than most of the people we've had today, that's for sure.
I kind of liked him. He was a funny guy.
Oh, with that deadpan expression, he was great.
Yeah, I had a chemistry teacher that looked exactly like him. It was just hard to. I couldn't keep a straight face in class because I thought, I have Pat Paulson for chemistry.
Oh, that's great. As if chemistry isn't boring already, you have to have it taught in a monotone voice and a deadpan expression.
Yeah.
It's like in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He was classic.
And the depression was caused by the anybody, anybody.
Oh, man. Smothers Brothers, that was great stuff. And yet, they were pretty liberal. That show was very liberal, and
being liberal in those days didn't mean you were a lunatic. In those days, it just meant you were against the Vietnam War. We've gone a hop, skip, and a jump from that kind of liberalism today.
Yeah, things are different. And they got censored a lot.
They got censored and eventually kicked off the air for running a show beyond its censors.
Yeah, but I watched them religiously, we'll say. Oh, man. They always had good musical guests on there, too. That was
they did. Okay, Jim, hold with me. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. And now it's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
I had to do the Oscar applause again because I felt bad last week.
We had pretty loud applause last week too.
We did, but I chose a movie and I thought he would know Mighty Python, but he wasn't a fan of it. So, and I'm doing another tough one tonight too. Yeah.
Well, he knew Holy Grail better than he knew Life of Brian.
True, true. So tonight,
what do we got? I think I deserve a clue after last week.
Well, tonight I'll give you the genre. It's traditional pop music from the 60s. So it's a very slow kind of song, but you will definitely know the celebrity at least for sure. He is an absolute legend when it comes to both music and in acting as well. So, without any further ado, here is your song for Stump Jim Barrier.
Oh, I know this. Let it go ahead. I know this song. Ed Ames.
Yep.
Yeah, let's hear this. This is a very pretty song.
I lie here beside you, just watching you sleep. And sometimes I whisper what I'm thinking of. My cup runneth over with.
Yep.
So you knew the song, you said?
Yeah, Ed Ames, My Cup Runneth Over.
That's right, correct.
And I must say, I often think of this song in my head and think about my lovely wife, Dana. So that's a shout out to my wife. I associate this song with her often.
So the reason why I played that, May 21st, he sadly passed away at the age of 95. He was the last Ames brother to...
Wasn't he the one infamous for throwing a tomahawk and almost hitting Johnny Carson with it? Wasn't that Ed Ames?
The reason why I brought that up, too, is he played Mingo in Daniel Boone.
Yes, I believe we're talking about the same person. I think he was on the Johnny Carson show, and he threw that tomahawk.
He didn't hit Johnny Carson.
No, but he missed him and got really close to
Actually, what's the story was, Bob, they set up a target, a wooden target with a drawing of a guy for him to demonstrate his tomahawk throwing prowess. And when he threw it, it kind of hit the family jewels on the
back
target.
In the days when Target That's knew the what the family jewels actually were.
That's the story, though. And you can look it up. You can find it on YouTube or any Johnny Carson highlight series, which I love. So, yeah, Ed Ames, how about that? Well, I feel I've redeemed myself now.
You absolutely. I will give you a bigger Oscar applause. I'll do double the Oscar applause next
all
week.
All right.
So if I could throw my two cents about a couple of topics that we've already discussed. Mm-hmm. Did you hear the Dodgers' response to the Pride Night that they decided to reinstate?
No, what did they say?
They said today that they are going to initiate a Christian night as well on July 30th. The Dodgers did not announce this, however. It was their pitcher, Clayton Kershaw, who had to announce it to the public instead of anyone in the team office themselves. So I think it's a little too late, in my opinion.
Christian, I don't need them to have a Christian night. Why don't they just play ball?
Yeah. I know. I agree.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. And then lastly, I was going to say is a politician announcing their presidential, but like delaying it is the equivalent of an athlete who you know is really good, but they'll say, oh no, it was a team effort. We all did our part to, you know, win the game. But you know, it was just that one athlete that
yes,
did it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jim.
Yeah. All right. Good point. You know, usually I don't believe a whole lot of whatever press releases that politicians make about themselves or anybody else, but they all do it. And sadly, the same thing has happened in all the entertainment industry because, Brendan, athletes and sports is showbiz. It's showbiz. It's entertainment. People pay big bucks to go watch these guys play a game or race a race like today or whatever the thing is. So they're very much entertainers. And so I don't believe a lot of those guys sometimes when they make announcements, going to retire, I'm not going to retire, I'm going to stay with this team.
Right.
No, I've got a better offer.
And not in the slightest am I believing LeBron James is going to retire after this season. He was like, I'm thinking about it. There's no way.
No. And somebody infuriated the San Antonio fans because they posted a picture of LeBron with a Spurs jersey on. And of course it was a joke, but everybody just went nuts because they're not fond of him in this town.
I'm taking notes here. So talking about retiring means you're not going to retire. Talking about maybe running for president means you definitely are. Is that the way it works?
Yeah. And you know, I retired and I don't feel very retired. I'm doing this show twice a month, which I really, really love.
I'm old enough to retire, but if I did, I'd be doing all the same things I'm doing now anyway, so I don't see the point of retiring.
That's exactly right. I tell people, they say, well, how is retirement? I say, well, I do a weekly podcast, sometimes an extra podcast once a month. I'm on the radio twice a month. I've written 3 books, and I'm working on a couple more that I would like to publish. I don't feel retired, except I do it all on my own schedule, with the exception of the Bob Siegel Show. I can't tape that one. I have to do that live.
But even that, I let you choose the dates. I'll say throw out your dates for this month. Occasionally, it doesn't work with my schedule, but usually we give you the dates you want.
It usually works out well, and you've been very gracious. And I do love being on the show because we can talk about all kinds of stuff, serious stuff, goofy stuff, spiritual stuff. So I do enjoy that. So where did we leave off? Oh, we're talking about DeSantis versus Trump. So now they are in the stage where they're firing away at each other.
Yeah, this is the thing. I would be happy with either one of them as president. I just hope that whichever one of them gets the nomination, and it may not even be either one of them, but let's say it is one of them, I hope they can make their peace. I really don't like it when Trump does the name calling. It just seems unnecessary.
No, yeah, and that's just the way he does it. What was he called? What was the nickname he had for him? Ron DeSanctimonious or something like that.
Yeah, and of course, in the last election, it was Lying Ted.
And there's just no...
Now, when he said Crooked Hillary, I think he was onto something there. But people within his own party, what is the point of that?
I do not know. So here's the deal. Here's some of the stuff. DeSantis now is saying that Trump is running to the left. And that's how you demonize a Republican candidate.
Well, now, what would he use as an example? What does he mean when he says Trump is running to the left? What point is he making?
He talks about it being too lenient on abortion and too lenient on Disney and some of this kind of stuff.
Trump has never had a whole lot of passion one way or the other about the LGBTQ stuff, but no. I disagree. I think he's been very good for the pro-life movement.
Oh, he put, how many justices? 3 justices did he put on the Supreme Court?
3 justices came in on his watch,
And for the most part, it was better than what we would have got if a Democrat president.
By the way, did you hear about that unanimous decision that they just made in the court? Chuck Schumer is complaining that it's an all-mega court. The three liberal justices voted along with it. It had to do with some kind of environmental thing and some grab that the government was doing over land.
If you don't get your way, then just cry louder.
Yeah, and Schumer is the top of that. He's the expert.
Yeah. Oh, I can't say.
Well, there's another one of Trump's nicknames. He used to call him Crying Chuck.
Okay.
I mean, I got to admit, I think some of them are funny, but I also wish he wouldn't do it. I feel both ways.
Now, here's some of these things are crazy. DeSantis says that Trump is fiscally irresponsible. Huh?
The economy was never in better shape than when he was our president. Yeah. Before COVID, before we shut down the...
People don't check the facts. They won't check the facts. They listen to the sound bites.
Well, see, that's really disappointing because they were right on the same page. And DeSantis was one of the people supporting Trump and standing by him during the Russia collusion nonsense.
Yeah, he did.
It is really sad to see this. And I just hope it can be one of those things where whoever gets the nomination, they can come together.
You know, don't be surprised if one of them doesn't pick the other as a running bait. You know,
well, and that's what I'd like to see. And then just come out and say, look, you know, when you're running, you say tough things against your opponent. I wouldn't want it to be as bad as Kamala Harris admitting that she lied about Biden by laughing and going, it was just a debate.
Well, it happens every 4 years, though, Bob. We've seen this forever, you know. I mean, goodness, JFK picked LBJ as his running mate.
And there was no love lost between those two, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's an old thing. If you can pick up some votes from a section of the population that you wouldn't get on your own, then you pick a running mate that might strengthen you. There is nothing new about that. Yeah, so now back to DeSantis says that Trump was a supporter for amnesty for undocumented immigrants. Trump was the only guy in the country that wanted to secure the border. And
To DeSantis, there was a bill that they were going to float that was going to give amnesty to the Dreamers. Trump was trying to make a deal with the Democrats. They were going to go along with it. But then the Democrats turned on him and it never happened. But he was willing to do that. And I would have been disappointed if he had. Still, I just think they're close enough in where they stand on these issues that they don't have to have this animosity.
Yeah, but then he's pulling out anything again. He said, Trump's COVID-19 mitigation policies destroyed millions of people's lives.
I believe that Trump was of the opinion that if he didn't go along with that, he would have been impeached. Even the Republicans were running scared in those days.
Yeah.
Trump was one of those people that thought, if I have a bunch of experts, and he thought Fauci was the expert, if I have the best people around me, they'll give me the best advice. I think he did that sincerely. Very quickly into it, though, you could tell, and he said this, he said, I want to open up. I'd like to open up by Easter. I don't want the medicine to be worse than the disease. So he was saying those things, but his hands were very tied in those days. There was such panic in this country.
I think he tried to handle that situation better than his successor. Now, Trump and his attacks. Since he announced his run for the White House, he has at this point launched at least 242 personal attacks on potential rivals for the party's nomination. 216 of those were aimed at DeSantis.
Well, because he views DeSantis as the only threat. Okay, hold with me, Jim, for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dana Wright, here to talk about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... The title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my co-host, Jim Barrier.
Who's here when it's convenient.
There we go. My retired, semi-retired, yes, kind of retired right. Co-host.
Semi-retired. Actually, I picked this phrase up of a friend of mine up in Austin who's an artist, and so he's really never had a real job. But he says, I am self-unemployed.
There you go. I do agree with you, though, no matter how busy we are, and I'm very busy, I do set my own hours, and that makes a big difference than punching in a clock.
It helps a lot, yeah. So I'm not complaining. I'm very happy with how things are going so far. And now, and it's been 3 years now. I've been retired for 3 years, Bob.
I'll never forget when you retired, because right after your retirement, the whole country retired for 2 years.
Two weeks later, everything shut down. Throw me under the bus.
Yeah, we really want to thank you for that one, Jim. The whole country celebrated your retirement.
Well, I didn't know that I was so important to the going on of society.
Just don't let that story leak out if you ever run for president against Trump. He'll make use of it.
Well, I've actually, over the years, I've had people say, have you considered running for public office? And I always say emphatically, absolutely not. And they say, well, why not? And I say, I'm not a very good liar.
Well, they tried to get Dennis Prager to run for United States Senator.
Yeah.
He made the decision, which I'm so glad he made, that he's doing far more good and has far more of a voice on the radio than he would ever have as one of the senators.
And that's kind of how I feel about what you're doing. A number of these media outlets that I'm finding, I have a voice. I don't know how far-reaching it is, but at least I can express myself. And they haven't completely stripped us of the right to free speech. And so we're going to use it as long as we've got it. And there are others like us, and we'll try to tell what we understand to be the truth. We'll try to do it with integrity. And I always commend you for doing that. Now, back to Trump versus DeSantis. We said that Trump has so far had 216 public attacks aimed at DeSantis, and 40% of those target issues on Social Security, government-run Medicare programs for the elderly, foreign policy, and just various things in DeSantis' record in office. So they're going after each other. And as we said, you know, there's nothing new about candidates fighting with each other prior to the actual nomination. Yeah, and you pointed out last time around, Kamala and Sleepy Joe were vicious toward each other.
She called him a racist and a segregationist, which he is, by the way. But she didn't she didn't say it because she cared about that. And then, she laughed it off afterwards when she became the VP.
You know, that laugh, they should can that and use it for horror films or something.
I'd rather hear the Wicked Witch of the West's laugh or Phyllis Diller's laugh than Kamala Harris's laugh. Although I must say Hillary Clinton's laugh kind of gives me the shivers
That was pretty bad too. At any rate, they fight with each other. I don't know if they're going to do debates this time. They usually do. And they'll attack each other and tear each other up. And it'll go on for months. And then
someone hopefully will get enough of the party's votes to become that party's nominee.
But you know, DeSantis needs to be careful because we've talked about this. You and I are Trump realists. We'll vote for Trump against the Democrat. That doesn't mean we stand by every single word that's ever come out of Donald Trump's mouth. But he has a lot of fans that are Trump groupies. And if DeSantis gets the nomination and goes after Trump too much, those groupies will just stay home. You'd think that they'd think it through and say, well, DeSantis is better than a Democrat. But a lot of them won't do that, Jim. So these guys have got to be really, really careful.
Very careful. And they may go home, or Trump will announce that he's going to run independent.
That would be the end of the election for us. Yeah. That would just be another Ross Perot move.
Ross Perot. That's what Ross Perot did in 92, and it sunk the Republican ship. I thought Perot was okay. He was funny. He was a strange, quirky little guy. He had some good policies and everything, but he knew he couldn't win. He was not going to win the election.
He liked the attention, and all he did is put Bill Clinton in office. That's all he did. Okay, well, Jim, we are out of time, but it's always a pleasure having you.
Well, I will. We'll talk about what I'm going to be on next month. And,
yeah.
It has been good. And Brendan, thank you so much for making me look better this week.
Okay. All right. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.